The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Drive Time. It is Wednesday, July 13th. I'm Dave Glover. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. Joining me in the studio, Colin Brown, a resident lawyer locally here who has done a lot of criminal justice cases, I understand, and other legal work. Also in the studio with us, Corey Jacobs has stuck around, and we're going to be talking, because again, the conversation this afternoon is about racism. We're going to be having a frank and what I hope will be an honest conversation about racism, maybe self-identifying if necessary. Maybe that's part of the hugest problem. And with us as well, a professor of journalism at Loyalist College, Rob Washburn, is also in the studio. Before we bring our guests in, here is Sly and the Family Stone and Stand on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
Things you want are real.
You have you to complete, and there is no deal.
There's a midget standing tall,
and the giant beside him about to fall.
Crawl,
and they know what you're saying.
Sly and the Family Stone, Stand. And the message for that song is that we're all in this together, man. We are all in this together. Today's show is about racism. And again, once again, I'm very happy to have my guests in the studio. Thank you very much, you guys. We want to have a, I'm hoping anyway, we can have a frank conversation on racism in Canada. Now, of course, a lot of that has been really brought to a head of late with what's been going on in the United States. What's been happening to black people, black all people, men and women. I've watched some video footage of a takedown of a black woman who was protesting, and again, a severe takedown. So that's happening down there. Also, we have the tie-in now yesterday with the national anthem, the Canadian national anthem, being centered out as the focal point to present a message by one of the four tenors. So I was upset by that, as we know, before we came to the news, about the fact that it was Canada he was really holding out on, as far as I'm concerned, in that message. And really, is that just when the problem isn't happening here in Canada? Of course, we're going to talk about the issues in the United States with Dallas, what is really going on, in our opinion. But I think discussing racism, first thing we have to do is identify ourselves. I mean, when identifying a problem, if you're for or against it, you really have to identify your position on that. Now, most people would say racism, oh, I'm against that. But are they saying that as a knee-jerk reaction? When we say racism, if I ask you if you're a racist, do you automatically think, no, I'm not a racist, because your image of a racist is something that may or may not be real? Because maybe you are a racist. And maybe we're all racist. And maybe we need to self-identify before we can, you know, stand together with other people and say that, you know, we want to see a better world. Colin, what do you think when we talk about it as a broad thing? Because racism is a huge umbrella.
Well, just to get complex to start out, and then we can flesh it out over the next few minutes. You have to start with a definition, and nobody really has established a working definition of the word racism that we can all use in sort of general conversations. So the favorite discussion point in the States seems to be black-white racism, but that's not the only kind of racism, obviously. There's black-black racism and white Mexican and black Indian and then Asian Indian and yellow Indian and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a complex question. So I think the first thing to do is define, as you said, what is racism? Do you have to be in the KKK, or do you have to be actively running up and down the streets yelling and screaming at people? Or can you sit at home muttering at the TV?
Mm-hmm.
Or could you be a racist and not know it? I mean, I think we have to look into, you know, all of those questions to start out.
Well, I think you're right. Now, the definition online of racism is the belief that all members of each race possess characteristics or abilities specific to that race, especially so as to distinguish it as inferior or superior to another race or races. It also could mean prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior. So again, it doesn't even define superior or inferior when it comes to it. It really appears to be that racism, based on that definition, is about fear.
But Dave, that's a rather academic approach. And I'd be curious to hear both from Colin and from Corey. Racism is also an experience. And I'm wondering if you could tell me maybe an example in each of your lives as to how you've experienced racism, or maybe the first experience of racism.
Thanks, Rob. My first experience of racism was during, you know, school, like public school. And I had long hair at the time. I don't have long hair now, but I'd get my hair pulled and it would be by someone random and you would never know. And in the winter, I'd get random snowballs thrown at me and it's like, who did it? And it just comes from a group of kids.
So you were centered out specifically at random, too.
Oh, I'm centered out at school sometimes. When they talk about Native issues, I'm the master of it. I know everything.
You're the guy. Well, and again, I don't want anyone to think that we brought Corey in here this afternoon to be our, if you will, token Native guy for this conversation. The reality is he's a volunteer like I am at the station, and he was very much interested in discussing race, especially. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at what McLean's magazine said in 2015, okay, that Canada's race problem is even worse than that in the United States. Now, a lot of people were alarmed by that headline. But, you know, most people, when they think of racism, they think of black-on-white issues.
Maybe, Colin, you could tell us a bit about your experiences.
Well, it's funny because as Corey went through his, mine are exactly the same. Except it was rocks instead of snowballs in school. I think I gather from what Corey is saying, he didn't go to a school that was primarily First Nations. I was the only black kid in my school. And so it was, oh, I guess we're not supposed to say that word that rhymes with bigger that starts with N, right?
No, that's right. You can't use
well,
the
anyway,
bigger word.
There was, I'm from Nova Scotia. If you look at Nova Scotia, the black population in Nova Scotia has been there since the 1600s, and there's a long, long history of the two populations not getting along very well at all. So in Nova Scotia, I don't think anybody would suggest that there isn't racism, whereas you tend to get that more in Ontario.
Ironic because, as you and I discussed the other day, the last black slave auction in this country was, in fact, you know, not only in Ontario, but in Grafton.
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of, because, you know, I've talked, you and I were discussing this yesterday. And one of the things that we hear from people from Canada is, well, we never had slavery in this country. Slavery was never something that was Canadian, but it was Canadian. And it was a very real situation. And something that I pointed out yesterday, because maybe this can help us get to the heart of this issue, especially as it pertains to blacks and whites anyway, is the fact that, and this is something I thought of yesterday as well, was that in North America, we have never experienced blacks, or even First Nations for that matter, that weren't under the thumb of the white man. It's as simple as that. There were no free blacks in Canada. They were brought here. Just like they were brought to the Americans. And when First Nations were first encountered by white people and they started to think about colonization, again, they were subjugated to the same realm.
But one of the things that I think is seminal is, let's bring it into the current, which is the song that was sung last night. And this notion of all lives matter versus black lives matter versus idle no more versus whatever. I'd like to know why from our guests, why can't we just say that? I can hear people in the audience saying, you know, why can't we just say everybody matters? Why do we have to pick one or another if we're going to talk about issues of racism?
Well, being a Native man, I've always been told that being Ojibwe, be proud to be Ojibwe, and I think that goes along with it, is that I've always identified myself as an Ojibwe man, and yes, I'm a human underneath that, but on the surface, I have these values and these traditions that I try to uphold and to share with everybody else in this world.
So your life matters as much as the next guy.
Oh,
or
for
maybe
sure.
Does it matter more in your teaching?
No, everyone matters. If you're old, you're young, all lives matter.
Okay, I think to answer Rob, I think any sort of rational, reasonable person would agree that all lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a departure point that will help us all agree. But what the Black Lives Matter people are saying is that in this particular context, because of institutionalized racism, because of the presumption of culpability and inferiority, that the effect is that the Native life and the Black life matter less, and that should not be the case.
It's interesting. McLean's did a piece recently, and they put up some statistics, and it really fascinating. First of all, in terms of unemployment rates for the Indigenous people in Canada is at 14%. For people who are African-Canadian, it is 11%. That means that compared to the national average for Indigenous people, it's more than two times greater than the national average. For blacks, it is two times higher than the national average. Median income, for example, for Indigenous people, it's $22,344 is the median income. For blacks in Canada, $23,738. Compare that to the national average, it's at 60% of the national average. For blacks, it's at 74%. For incarceration, compared to the national average for Indigenous people, it's 10 times greater that you're going to find one of their community in jail as compared to blacks, which is three times greater. In terms of homicide, for Indigenous people, it's 8.8 per 100,000 compared to 17.3% blacks per 100,000. That's six times higher for Indigenous people for the national average and four times higher for blacks. I mean, it's it's incredible, the disparity. And I think that when we talk about all lives matter, I think we are well-intentioned. And, of course, like you said, Colin, it's a mom and apple pie statement. But what we're trying to do, I think through movements like Idle No More and Black Lives Matter, is to start to really unpack how different their lives are than to the rest of us. And until we do that, until we become conscious of that, and we start to do something about it in a meaningful way, then what we'll do is we'll just be complacent, and these types of things go on.
Well, and that's a good point. That's a good place to stop. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we'll have more on this conversation. I'm Dave Glover. You're listening to The Drive Time. This is Canada's only holistic political chat. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
I'm Chef Michelle.
I'm Chef Michael.
You don't have to be a chef to savor the flavors of Chef's Corner.
Tune in Thursday mornings at 10 to see who we've cooked up for our special guests, and don't forget our skill tasting giveaway.
Join Chef's Corner to tap into the upcoming culinary season and stir the gourmet in you. It's all about food, eating in season, and keeping it local. Chef's Corner, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m.
Chef's Corner is proudly sponsored by The Cultured Kitchen in downtown Cobourg, here on Northumberland 89.7.
Truly local radio.
Come out and enjoy a fabulous movie-going experience at the Rainbow Cinemas.
Playing July 8th to the 14th, The Secret Life of Pets, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, No Free Passes Accepted, and The Legend of Tarzan.
The Rainbow Cinemas are located in the Northumberland Mall, 1111 Elgin Street West. Give them a call, 905-372-2444, or visit rainbowcinemas.ca.
Beat the hot, humid weather this summer with Pritchard's Climate Care. Have your home cool and comfortable by installing an air conditioner from Pritchard's Climate Care starting at only $2,800. For a free estimate, call 905-885-8216, 905-885-8216, or visit their website, pritchard-mechanical.com. At Pritchard's, we're not just your climate care experts, we're your neighbors.
Do you like radio broadcasting and want to learn more? Volunteer with us at Northumberland 89.7.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Won't you please come to Chicago just to sing? Land that's known as freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come to Chicago for the help that we can bring? We can change the world. We are ready. The world is starting to get better.
It's Graham Nash in Chicago from 1971, his anthem to the Chicago 8, which was the Chicago 9. And the reason I played that song is because that song is an anthem to institutional racism, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it was the Chicago 8. We remember, everyone remembers, right? Chicago 8. They were all arrested outside the Chicago Democratic Convention. Huey was chained to a chair, was not allowed to speak. He was gagged by the court. And eventually he had his trial severed from the rest of everyone else, only because he was a black man, quite frankly, who wanted to voice his opinion. That is institutional racism, and that is part of what I want the discussion to be about today, because a lot of people are in denial. As Colin, you know, as Rob was talking about statistics, and Colin and everyone was talking during the break, you know, we remarked on the fact that it was great that Rob had all the statistics, because, again, that plays into the narrative sometimes that, you know, well, of course blacks and Indians are in jail because, well, they obviously, they're the ones to being the perpetrators of crime. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Okay. 89.7. I can respond to Rob then? All right. So earlier you said that it's time to sort of unpack the dialogue. Or what was the phrase you used?
Just saying that now I see the task is unpacking this in what does all that mean, I guess.
Okay. All right. So what has happened is that many, many people have been confused. And when Dave was played Chicago there and actually honestly said, oh, you all remember that. The fact of the matter is not only does not any of the younger generation have any idea what he's talking about, but the vast majority of people older and even our age either don't remember it or never knew or never cared. And so what needs to happen is, if we are going to have an intelligent discussion about racism, we have to put some effort into picking up a book or going to a discussion or thinking and reading and looking at what's going on. The average person won't do that. The average person basically figures, I saw some black people here, I saw some natives there, I went out with a black girl once, I'm an expert, I'm ready to go. And that is the problem. It's a much more complex set of issues. You need to put some effort into it, you need to open a book, and you need to have some ongoing discussions.
We do. Now, we do have a caller online, and I want to get to the caller. Go ahead. You're on with us here. Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How's it going, Ed?
Okay. Not bad. Got some questions. Might be popular. Might make me.
Hey, whatever. You know what? Thank you for calling. I just want you. I want to say before you give yourself any kind of, you know, excuse. We are looking to have a frank conversation about racism. So I appreciate your call and thanks for taking the nerve, if you will, to make the call this afternoon.
Okay. Well. Okay. You talked about was it Huey Newton?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't Huey, actually, in the chair. I got the name wrong, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sorry. I know what you're talking about. It was a court case. Okay. Now, when I look at it, I figure I've seen a lot of white guys that were muzzled and gagged and chained to chairs, too, because they wouldn't stop talking. Okay?
Okay. Interesting point.
Well, isn't it?
No, absolutely. Why are people being chained to the chair?
Because they're in court, and there's a certain protocol in court, if you ask your lawyer. You know, there are certain things you can and can't do. There are certain times you can and can't speak up.
But if
you continue to interrupt the court proceedings or make statements or whatnot, then they either charge you with contempt or they, they take you out or they do something.
To clarify, he was acting as his own lawyer, so he had the right to speak. The judge refused to acknowledge that.
But Ed, I want to ask you, why do we have to, when we get into this conversation, why do we have to say, well, it's no different for anybody else?
Okay, well, I'm going to
that's always the path.
Why is it, like Dave just said, in passing, okay, there was a couple black guys over there. There was a couple native guys over there. You know, this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's supposed to get all upset or excited about it. Why not just? It's okay. That's the way it is. Like if people don't necessarily think that that was a black guy or that was a native guy, they just think it was a guy. Why is that a problem? Why do I have to go through life thinking that, you know, that was a black guy and that was a native guy? Why can't I just think that's a guy and then go on and read my newspaper? Why do I have to differentiate?
Well, that's a good question. Why
are there different rules for different people? I don't understand that. Why should, okay, here we go.
Well, the only thing I can think
of... okay, I'm going to say, why is it allowable... Or why did the Black Lives Matter group, why did they think that was okay what they did at the Pride Parade? Why would they think that was okay? Would they not think that was confrontational? Is that not what they wanted?
I think in response to that particular question, my own particular angle on that is probably not a popular one, but the reality in my head is that the Pride Parade was begun as a protest. It was a protest for more than a decade. Finally, it became this accepted, wonderful parade like the Canada Day Parade or the Warriors Day Parade. But in the heart of the Pride Parade, it is a protest. And I think the idea of that Black Lives Matter had was, let's bring the protest back into this parade. Let's bring the protest back to where it belongs, which is in the streets. Now, I think part of Black Lives Matter, if you will, they got hung up. Maybe a lot of people got hung up by the fact that, you know, they held the parade up. But the reality is they were bringing, in my mind anyway, protest back to where it belonged, which was within that parade. That's my opinion on that one, Ed. Rob,
okay,
you had something you want to say.
They can't be surprised when they get a negative reaction, and they can't be crying, oh, they're mad at us because we're black. No, you screwed up the parade.
Well, again, they brought protest back to a protest, in my opinion.
okay, but I'm differing.
I know, but the thing is this: it's still a movement.
That doesn't give them a right to interfere with other people.
Okay, noted.
Okay, you know, like just because you got a, I mean, if I take my wash machines and stick them out in the front of the road here,
mm-hmm.
and I say I'm protesting whatever I'm protesting,
mm-hmm.
well, that doesn't make it okay.
Well, isn't protesting okay though? Isn't that a right?
Yeah, protesting is okay, but you know, like I, you know, like Caledonia, was that okay?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Ed. I think we have a right to protest. I think you brought up Caledonia. If we can, we're gonna dial it back just a hair.
Fair, but,
I want you to stay on the line because Corey, you had something you wanted to say.
Well, I'm just thinking about like how we always add that you know, the person was Native or Black. Why can't we add where that other white person came from? Like, you know, if they came from Poland, because if you say Canadian, I'm gonna say they weren't originally here, they were brought here. And
so what's their European ethnicity? I think Ed's problem is the fact that they are identifying people by race in the first place. Am I correct on that?
I don't understand.
That's mainstream media for you, right? It's the media that wants to whip the story up. So how can they best whip the story up?
We're just not going to make the news media the whipping boy here. And I think what's really important, and I think this was what I was trying to get at earlier, is that we need to acknowledge that there are these different groups and that there is this difference. And I think what we do when we start trying to say, well, everybody's got a problem, is we're demeaning and we're diminishing the reality. And I think what we're trying to do in this discussion, too, is bring forward some facts and some statistics, and let's talk about really what are some seminal issues here. And I think the protest at Black Lives Matter, you had your turn. It's mine now. I think it's seminal what they did. I think it's really important what they did, because what they did by stopping everybody was drawing attention to their cause. And yes, it was inconvenient. Like so many things, forms of protest, it was inconvenient and it, you know, made everybody a little uncomfortable. But how else are they supposed to get attention so that we start talking about and addressing these things? Because look what's happening down in Dallas. Anyway, thank you, Ed. I appreciate you giving me your time.
Did you have a comment, Ed?
Evidently, it doesn't matter.
Well, of course, all voices matter, man. This is the reality.
No, evidently they don't. Only intellectual ones.
Well, no, that's not what we're about. This is why we have the lines open. We want everybody to call in.
Well, yeah, I totally disagree with Robert.
You have the right to that. We want to hear that.
Yeah, I totally disagree with him, but he has his way of saying it. I think the newspapers are totally to blame for all this kind of stuff. When people have a protest, I would hope that they would have a protest in such a way that they are prepared for whatever the reaction is that happens. And it's just a case of, I don't think that the protest worked in their favor on this particular occasion. It's just a case of, I don't know, are there some, you talk about the difference in number of people that are in jail. Why is that? Okay. Why do some people get less money? I mean, Russians coming over get less money. Syrians coming over are going to get less money. All these people are going to get less money. Not necessarily right, but that's the way it is until they become lawyers or doctors or whatever and get the big shot jobs.
So your point to wrap it all up then is that, you know, we all start at the same spot. Is that what you're saying?
That's right, and you can't be whining about it.
Well, that's a good point, and I don't think that that is really what the message from Black Lives Matter was. Though I don't think they were whining about the fact.
That's a totally different thing. But effectively, from what I get from this type of thing, is that pretty much all the cops in the states are members of the Aryan Nation.
Well, and again, I don't think that's the message being put out there. But you know what? I want to thank you for your call, and I appreciate.
Thank you, Ed,
for listening.
Yeah, no, for no
appreciate
problem.
It. Appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
Disagree with the opinion.
So. No, and that's good because you're not outside the norm. I mean, this is the thing. You know, your opinion in a lot of cases is probably the common opinion, and this is why we're having this conversation. So I appreciate
cool.
your call.
Okay.
Thank you.
No offense meant to anybody.
Yeah. No, we appreciate it. None from us either. I hope.
All right.
Thank you so much. So I think, and I think that's really where the crux of the matter is, because we tend to. again, when you start talking about am I a racist or is this a racist society, all of a sudden people start to get a little worried that maybe, you know, you're pointing the finger at them and that some people are looking for a free ride and maybe that's their angle on it.
I got a bit confused by what Ed was saying. And,
oh, absolutely.
Your name? I've heard this suggestion that that really everybody's a guy and there are really no blacks, no Indians, and no white people. Everybody's just a human.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was asking why it is that people have to notice that somebody's black and notice that somebody's native and notice that somebody's white. And that is confusing to me because it's pretty easy to do, given that they are different colors and they're walking down the street. But I think what he's trying to suggest, perhaps, is that racism actually doesn't exist. I don't really know. I mean, he's asking why do the stats show an overrepresentation of natives and blacks in the jails? Well, a lot of people conclude because the policing, the system, the police, the courts, et cetera, the racism is institutionalized, and mm-hmm. that's how they wind up in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So the system and the institutions, they see the color, and why do they? I don't understand.
Why doesn't
it's
everybody
question.
Else? If the
institutions, well, everybody does. Everybody sees the color. Color is obvious. It's not a question. We're not all the same.
That's a good point. We're going to take this call. Ken on the line. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, great show. And I'm just going to try and be as concise as I possibly
appreciate
can.
It.
Yeah, pardon?
Appreciate it.
Okay, yeah, fair. I have a lot of black friends, whatever. And I'm not going to talk about the native issue. I think that's to complicate things. I don't mean disrespect toward native people, but that's just not muddying the water, but whatever. It's just one issue at a time. When it comes to Black Lives Matter and all that, and you know what I mean, pertinent to what happened there last week with the police and everything, I think that the people I know that are black, they get sick and tired of what they perceive. Now, this is altogether obviously subjective, and I understand that, but my vibe is from what I gather from them, my take from what I gather from their vibe is they get tired of it because they rolled up their sleeves and they feel that a lot of people are just patronizing them and they're, you know, black people, I'll put it, not their people, there are people that, whatever, the black people, so they get tired of it. A lot of these people I know are from the islands, from Jamaica and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You just shake their heads, and that's one of their things there, is just roll up your sleeves. There's nobody on the face of the earth that hasn't gone through difficulty and severe persecution. Typically, you name it. Name the Ukrainians, the millions of people that died there during Stalin's time and all that. Name, well, the Irish people like 150 years ago, what was there, a million people perished to come over here. No Catholics, Irish need apply and all this kind of thing. What happened? How did they turn it around? They didn't cry so much about it. There was plenty. I suppose there was a little bit about that, but they would have. They didn't mull about it. They didn't dwell on that. They rolled up their sleeves, and they got with it, mm-hmm. and they got on the wagon, and they got work, and that's all. And we're not going to help things by creating this thing, what do you call it, like a victim sort of scenario?
Sure.
Where people feel that we're basically, yes, owning up to the, yeah, you are victims, and you know what I mean? Like I say, the people I know, most of them are from Jamaica, frankly, and they laugh, but at first then they get tired of it, and they just shake their heads, and they say, they feel that we're being patronized, and mm-hmm. it's just ridiculous to them, because they see this as the land of opportunity. This, to them, is utopia, and it's their chance to roll up their sleeves and get work and get ahead for themselves. So what else would they come up to? You know, in the middle of January, leaving a wonderful like heaven where they have it down there and freeze almost to death up here in the middle of January, and they say it's their it's their chance to get ahead and to make a life for themselves, and they roll up their sleeves and they come up here prepared to work.
So they're willing to accept the fact that, and it is a fact that they're going to get paid less, that the system is rigged. They're willing to accept that the white guy is going to get ahead because that's the way the system is. I mean, let's be frank.
No, not the white guy. It's not, no, come on. It's not the white guy. It's just, whatever, if you want to, no, that's getting muddying the waters again. That's somebody
I'm not trying to lay white guilt on anybody because I don't feel any white guilt myself personally, but I'm just saying the reality is, and I've known it in offices. I mean, I had managers walk into the room, go, okay, everybody stand up, and the two tallest guys get promoted. I mean, you know, the way the system works, it's gamed. And I think part of the problem that we're seeing, and part of the reason why groups like Black Lives Matter is because they want people to acknowledge the fact that the system is gamed. It is gamed.
Well, okay, so it is, and not that I'll ever be perfect, but the solution to that is not to try and make this, roll up your sleeves and prove them wrong. That's all. Just roll up your sleeves and prove them wrong. I think, never mind anything, if you could just play, and you won't because you don't have it, and who would have it anyway, but if somebody was able to play the excerpt from that chief of police in Dallas there, what did he say to those a lot of the people that are protesting and causing problems and everything like that? He says, put your placards down. Mm-hmm. And pick up an application form and sign up and become a cop yourselves and go into your neighborhoods and straighten things out yourselves.
Yeah.
And that's coming from not one of their own, one of our own, but a black man. And, you know, that's what I believe is the solution. Every nation under heaven that has gone through, you know, a rough ordeal, that's the only way to get out of it is to roll up your sleeves and get proving people otherwise.
Well,
and that's people up.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I hope a lot of people are listening to that. I really do, because that's not necessarily bad advice. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. I got another caller on the line. Sorry about that. Go ahead. You're on the line.
Hi there.
And can we get your name first?
It's Linda.
Thanks, Linda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a white woman who's been in a relationship with a black male for well over a dozen years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the biggest problems with racism in Ontario, anyway, I can only speak about Ontario, is that people, white people and other various groups of people, don't understand what racism is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed constantly how many friends, good friends and good family, who are friends of myself and my spouse as a couple, how they will make racist comments or have racist ideas, and they don't even realize that they're being racist.
Right.
And I think that the white population in particular needs to spend a little bit of time, researching on the internet, reading books, to find out what racism really is, because there are so many people that would say to themselves, "I'm not racist,"
right?
And they don't actually understand that they are.
Well,
I think having people check into their own lives a little bit and researching, and they're all goodwill people. They're not trying to be harmful. They're not trying to be hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't understand that, hey, that comment is actually very offensive.
Yeah, no, exactly. And maybe that's it. Maybe there's time. There needs to be a lot of inward reflection. This is the thing when we have conversations about racism, that a lot of people are, in my opinion anyway, this is strictly my opinion, that people are unwilling to look inward and to maybe really think, geez, you know what, maybe I am a racist. Maybe
yes.
I am. And because, again, you know, self-actualization is the first step to change. I think that anyway. Maybe that's just me.
Oh. Absolutely. And one other comment I want to make. Now, I've just said to you that I've been in a long-term relationship, a white woman with a black male.
Uh-huh.
I acknowledge I'm racist. You know, like I see things and I have immediate thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and they're very racist thoughts. And yes, I'm not as racist as I was a dozen years ago, but that doesn't mean I'm not racist now.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage may be a lot lower, but this is the other thing. There are many people that are even in mixed relationships that don't realize that they're actually racist.
Right. No, well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad that you're able to realize that about yourself, because, again, that can only help you make your relationship better, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now, I'll let you get back to your
I appreciate
comments.
It. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. And thanks to everybody who has called in so far. The number is 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more on our conversation about racism here in Canada. And it's really been all over the map, so stick around.
Join me, Marcia Smoke, host of Debodge Moen, heard here the first and third Tuesday of every month. Join me as we introduce a variety of songs and stories from First Nation artists from across Northumberland and North America. We'll focus on current events with special guests from the Aboriginal community. That's Debodge Moen, Ojibwe for Our Stories, heard here every first and third Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Well, that washer quit again.
Well, I don't know what to do with it.
Well, I do. If you need in-home service, new or used parts,
previously loved appliances, advice, or stimulating conversation, come on down to Ed White Appliance Service, 51 Mill Street South, or call us at 905-885-7109, where we love to say, yes, it is worth fixing.
Interested in volunteering? How about broadcasting? Come volunteer with us at Northumberland 897. Call 905-372-2391 and volunteer today.
Sledge, and of course their classic from 1979, We Are Family, and that kind of really goes to what I'm trying to get across here. I think Brenda made a good point. Linda, she's been in a long-term relationship, she says, with a black man, but even she deals with her own personal issues of racism. And maybe that is something that we all have to become, not necessarily comfortable with, but certainly aware of it. Because, as I said a moment ago, self-actualization really is the only way we're gonna fix this problem. But as Sister Sledge says, why does Black Lives Matter? Well, we're all looking for our piece of the pie. We're all looking to build a better future. And when, whether people want to believe it or not, the game is rigged. I've watched it myself. I've seen women who work for me, certain men who work for me, they get paid less than other men, and so on and so forth. So I've seen it in business. I've seen it in real life. I know it's a reality. And maybe it's time for other people to wake up to the reality that, yes, but we can fix it. But we can only fix it if we're willing to talk about it. Colin, welcome back to the show, you guys. By the way, my guests in the studio, Colin Brown, Corey Jacobs, and, of course, Rob Washburn, professor of journalism at Loyalist College. Thanks to all our callers, by the way. I want to say this right now. None of the callers out there have offended us, and we hope that we have not offended them. That's not the that's also not what we want to do today. We don't want to offend, but we do want to make people think, and I think that's the beginning.
I agree. So I want to talk about Ken and Linda. So when Ken was talking, he said he knows these Jamaicans that are tired of it. Whatever it is, I'm not exactly sure, but I think that it's important to distinguish between what is referred to as whining and what is referred to as complaining. Either you believe that there is discrimination and racism or you think that there isn't, right? Okay, there are those of us who believe that racism exists. Therefore, it's a free country. We should be able to complain about something we think is wrong with the country. Whining, I'm not sure what that means. If we're sort of squealing about it not making any sense and we don't have any evidence, that's one thing. But we do have evidence, statistics. We are allowed to make submissions and complain. We do that all the time. It's part of being free. The problem happens to be, in my opinion, that denial is a river in Ontario. There is a problem with denying that racism exists. Mm-hmm. And I think it ties into what Linda was saying, and that is that because nobody understands exactly what it is and whether or not it has to be a lot or a little or this or that. Like,
I'm only
you have to
racist.
Talk about it. Yeah, you have to get into understanding what racism is. And then once you understand what it is, you can then look around and find out whether or not it's in your country. But you can't just sort of walk up the street and look up and down. You have to do some research, which is what Linda was suggesting, which was what we were suggesting in the beginning. So we're getting different perspectives, and I understand that whining is irritating. I agree. But complaining is different.
Mm-hmm. Rob, you had a point?
Yeah. I have a point. I was going to say, when I started the conversation, I asked for experiences from both our guests. And I guess, to me, the experiences are different. We can go back to our unemployment numbers and see that there is a disproportionate number of people of Indigenous background who are unemployed. And we can also say that there is a disproportionate number of Blacks who are unemployed. Well, there's lots of white people we could also say that are unemployed, and Mexicans, et mm-hmm. cetera, et cetera. We can break it down by race. Why is that important is I think, at the heart of this. Why do we want to do that? Why don't we just say there's this unemployment and let's solve unemployment as a policy?
Mm-hmm.
But when it's disproportionate, I think we have to look at what are the reasons. And until we start to explore what those reasons are and we start to understand it better, that's why I think people can come back and say racism might be involved, is that we're making a distinction that maybe it's because of this person's race, or it's because of this person's gender, or it's because of this or that, their religious beliefs or whatever. When we can start to do that, we better understand how our society functions, and then we can start to say to each other, okay, how do we solve these problems? Because maybe there are specific issues associated with unemployment in those communities or for those people. And then we can start to come to solutions that are going to be meaningful and everybody gets to participate fully. I hope that's the spirit in which we want to start to explore these things. And I think when these groups stand up and say, my group feels this way or my group feels that way, I think what they're saying is we're different and our experience is different. Therefore, the solution is going to be different rather than just having one solution for all. It's great to say, let's roll up our sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Everybody should roll up their sleeves and go to work. But maybe the disadvantages, maybe the system is not treats everybody a little bit different, whether we want to admit that or not.
Go ahead, Corey. And I think that's the point. We're going to cut you there. We're going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, Corey's going to have his point. Then we're going to try and wrap this up. This won't be our last conversation on this issue, listeners. And I know a lot of people are probably irritated, but that's, you know what? This is a conversation that needs to happen. We'll have our break. Corey, we'll have a word. We'll wrap it up. And then don't forget, at the top of the hour, we'll have the news after that. Mr. Stan Bletcher is joining us. He is the Ontario Senior of the Year.
Hey, sweetheart, you know what? It's really hot out.
Yeah, it is, honey.
Let's treat ourselves by going down to Pat and Rob's and have an old-style ice cream.
That's a great idea. I hear it's the place where friends gather.
And it's a real homey atmosphere.
Mmm, ice cream on a summer's night.
A friendly ice cream shop with shake, sundaes, ice creams, pretty much anything you would like.
Banana split?
Let's go!
That's Pat and Rob's at 32 King Street West in Cobourg.
Northumberland 89.7 is powered by our volunteers. You can help us continue to be Northumberland's truly local radio station. Contact us by emailing info@northumberland897.ca.
And welcome back to The Drive Time. You're listening to Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. I'm Dave Glover. Our conversation this afternoon has been about race, racism. It's really just been an introduction. My guest, Colin Brown, who is a local lawyer here in Cobourg. Also, Corey Jacobs, who is another volunteer at the station, also a resident of Alderville First Nations, and Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. You have the floor, Corey.
Well, I think in Canada, we've made a lot of leeway to reducing the amount of racism within, like, the courts. Like, that you can, I can go into the court and I could swear on an eagle feather instead of the Bible. And that's just, like, a small thing, but you know they're trying to make progress. I see the progress trying to be made, but it's just not happening as fast as we need it to happen.
Well, it's definitely not happening as quickly as it could, in my opinion. I totally agree with you. But as you say, we are making changes. We've come a long way since 1966, I think, in this country, where we've become a lot more open and a lot more multicultural. But I think in doing so, I think what we've also done is sort of push racism under the carpet. And it's time that we remove the carpet, maybe restore the hardwood floors, and start walking around with our heads clear about exactly what's happening. I'm Dave Glover. Thanks for joining us for The Drive Time. Here's Graham Nash.
Chicago, just to sing. In a land that's known as freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come to Chicago?